Okay, here we are at the Feast of Tabernacles, Breckenridge, Colorado. Today is the fourth day of the feast, and yesterday we allowed God to give the sermon. We went up to Rocky Mountain National Park and looked at God's great creation, those beautiful mountains, and just awesome things that God can do. So we looked at the things that God made on his Sabbath day during the Feast of Tabernacles. Today we're going to talk about what I think is the major difference between today's world and the world tomorrow. Now, let's turn over to Zechariah chapter 13, and I think we'll begin to see what the real difference between today's world and the world tomorrow is. Zechariah 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Now in verse 1, the fountain that God is going to open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be poured out on all the people of the earth in the world tomorrow. And then in verse 2, it's talking about an unclean spirit that's in the world today. And that will be gone. And that unclean spirit will be replaced by God's Holy Spirit. Now, verse 2 is talking about false religion. I will cast out the names of the idols, and they will no longer be remembered. And I will cause the false prophets and the unclean spirit to be gone. And it shall come to pass that when any human being starts prophesying, then his father and mother who begat him shall say to him, you shall not live, for you are telling lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, which he has prophesied. And they won't wear clothing and garments that make them look like some special kind of prophet. But he will say, I am no prophet. I'm a farmer, for I was taught to keep cattle from my youth. And someone will say to him, what are these wounds in your hands? And he'll answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. In chapter 14, same book of Zechariah, verse 4 talks about Christ's feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. It's talking about the second coming of Christ. And then drop down to verse 8. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the one direction and half toward the other. And in verse 9, and the Lord, Jesus Christ, shall be king over all the earth. Now you see, when Christ comes at his second coming, a new spirit is going to proceed forth from God and fill the world. And the unclean spirit that's in the world today that causes false religion and deception is going to disappear. Now, we'll see as we go along that there's one true God and one true religion. And that true religion from God is going to fill the world in the world tomorrow. But today, there are just many, 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 many religions. And the Bible says that Satan has deceived the world. Well, in the world tomorrow, God's going to fix all of that. The unclean spirit that produces all of the deception and so on will be replaced by God's Holy Spirit, a clean spirit. Now let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In other words, he's the one true God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your might. This is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said. And these words, which I command you this day, shall be in your heart. See, God's words should be in the heart and the mind of his people. And then dropping down to verse 13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. You shall swear by his name. Verse 14, you shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. Now you see, God wanted Israel to listen to his word and to follow his teaching, which he gave through Moses. And the Israelites were very fortunate because they received the education that came down from God. That's what made Israel special. God taught them the Ten Commandments and gave them the whole law that is in the five books of Moses. And that was an education from God. Now, true religion is not man's searching or man's trying to figure out for himself what to do. No, the true religion is what God reveals. It's what the Word of God is. Jesus said that man should learn to live by every word that comes from God. And all Scripture is inspired, and the Bible is the Word of God today. Now, true religion, then, is God's revealing, not man's searching, not man's ideas, but what comes down from God. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 16. Now, this is talking about the future now, and when God intervenes in world history and produces the world tomorrow, the time that we're picturing by keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 16 now. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. God is the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles will be forgotten, and because they will be hidden from my eyes. Now you see, when the world tomorrow comes, people are going to know the one true God, the God of truth. And all of the troubles that exist in the world today will have become a thing of the past, and they'll be forgotten. The world tomorrow will replace this present evil world. We go back to Isaiah 11 and verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now you see, that's what characterizes the world tomorrow. It will be full of the knowledge that comes from God, the Word of God. The one true God, and the one true religion will fill the world. God's teaching, God's truth. And that's the same truth that God's prophets and apostles have taught down through history. And their words are recorded in the Bible. They wrote the Bible. All down through history, there have been messengers of God that God sent to remind the people of the Word of God. When God sent Elijah, Elijah brought the people back to the one true God. That's why it says in Malachi, when it talks about Elijah, and it says, remember the law that I gave in the days of Moses at Mount Sinai there. Get back to the one true God. Now we go to Jeremiah chapter 16, Jeremiah 16 and verse 19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and the things wherein there is no profit. See, the day will come when the Gentiles will admit that they were taught lies. You know, children usually believe what their parents teach them, and if their parents were deceived, then the children are going to follow suit. Now, Adam and Eve went off track, and the whole world has gone off track. But someday, the people are going to say, hey, we've been taught a pack of lies. In the world tomorrow, they will know the God of truth. Revelation 17 and verse 5. Now, Babylon was a Gentile kingdom, and Babylon's religion was a Gentile religion. Now, this is talking about Babylon here. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, the Gentiles have inherited a pack of lies. God revealed himself to Israel through Moses and so on, and they had the Bible and the Word of God. But the Gentile religions, they were not from God. Now, chapter 18, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is going to fall, and it has become the habitation of demons and the prison of every foul spirit. Now notice, every foul spirit. Remember what we read in Zechariah chapter 13, that the unclean spirit behind the false religion of the world is going to be removed. Now Babylon was full of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The Gentile religion spread through the whole world, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. And then dropping down to verse 21, And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. See, God is going to remove the unclean spirit from the world. Now notice in the next verses the kind of influence that Babylon has had. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in you. And no craftsman of whatever craft he may be shall be found any more in you. Cultural things. You know, it's been said that the medieval beast church absorbed the pagan culture of the ancient world and transmitted it into the modern world today. It's everywhere. And that beast church has been called baptized paganism. And the sound of a millstone shall no longer be heard in her. And the light of a candle shall not shine any more in her. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more in her. See, music, culture, marriages, pagan culture transmitted to the modern world. And God's going to take it all away. And your merchants were the great men of the earth, it says. And then it says, For by your sorceries all nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. She's responsible, this Babylon the Great, responsible for stamping out the true religion from the earth. And God's going to turn that around and stamp out the unclean spirit from the earth and fill the earth with the spirit of truth after the second coming of Christ. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. A story that may surprise some people, but it's in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 18:18. Again he said, now this is the prophet of God named Micaiah, explaining that God has allowed false prophets to deceive in the land of Israel, because Israel wasn't obeying God. So Micaiah, the true prophet of God, said, Now hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spoke after this manner, and another after another manner. And then a spirit came forth and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said, How? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Now this is talking about the false prophets that surrounded King Ahab of Israel. And the Lord said, you may entice him, and you shall also prevail. Go and do so. Now therefore, verse 22, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these your prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against you. Well, they slapped Micaiah on the cheek for saying that. Now, let's go to 1 Kings 22, a parallel account. Now, it's the same story, but I'm just going to go right to verse 22 here. 1 Kings 22, 22. And the Lord said to him, how? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And God said, you shall persuade him and prevail. Go forth and do. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against you. Now, why would God do that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now here's the Apostle Paul speaking now, picking it up in verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work, Paul says. But he who is restraining will do so until the restraining power is taken out of the way, and then that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now what Paul is talking about is back in Daniel chapter 7, when it talked about four world-ruling empires pictured by the lion and the bear and the leopard and the beast. And then on the beast was a little horn that blasphemed against God. And that fourth beast represented the Roman Empire, the fourth world-ruling empire of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And the Roman Empire had this little horn on it that had eyes like a man and a mouth speaking blasphemous things against God. And that little horn and the fourth beast was going to continue right up till the second coming of Christ. Now, Paul was living in the days of the Roman Empire, and he knew that this wicked force had to come on the scene, and it hadn't come yet. So he was saying that it's being restrained. This little horn is being restrained right now, but it's going to come. When it comes, the Lord will destroy it at Christ's second coming. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Lying wonders, a deceptive spirit. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now here's the reason why. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Or other translations say, the lie. The big lie. Now, God sent John the Baptist, followed by Jesus Christ, followed by the original apostles of Jesus Christ. And they preached God's truth in their generation. And they preached it all over the world. You'll read at the end of the book of Mark that they went all over the world with the message. And in Colossians chapter 1, Paul said the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. So God did a wonderful thing. He sent a tremendous blast of his truth to that generation through his servants. And God's church proclaimed it in that first century AD. Now God holds people accountable for what they hear. And when people reject the word of God, well, here's what happens. The same thing happens as happened to Adam and Eve, because God spoke to Adam first, and Adam was taught from God, and Eve heard the truth too. They had God's word first, and then Satan got in there, and God allowed Adam and Eve to choose which way they'd go, and they both chose to follow Satan instead of God. So God gave them what they wanted. They had free will. They could make up their mind. And when they chose to follow Satan, God gave them Satan. Now, God sent his truth 2,000 years ago, as I said, through that threefold witness of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and the original apostles who were led by the Holy Spirit of God. And when that generation rejected the word of God, here's what they get. They get the little horn on the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7. And for this cause, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who believed not the truth. They had a chance. They heard it, but they rejected it. But they had pleasure in unrighteousness. And then Paul commends the Thessalonians because, well, they held on to God's truth. It says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel." See, they believed the apostles, these Thessalonians. They believed the word of God. They held it near and dear. But those who reject, well, they get a big lie. And God allows that. Now, let's look at Titus chapter 1. Now, we'll see that God doesn't lie himself. God cannot lie. We'll see that right now. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began." And then over in Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 18, "that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie." Now you see, God doesn't lie. He never lies. Why would God want to lie? No one can twist his arm and make him lie. No one is stronger than God. God has no reason for lying. And no one can make God lie because no one is strong enough to make God do anything he doesn't want to do. God doesn't want to lie. Now, to go back to John 8:44, and you'll see where lies originated. Not with God. John 8:44, Jesus speaking to some people of his day. "You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." See, Satan the devil is the originator of lying. God is above sin. There's no sin in God. But sin originated with Satan. And he's the father of lies and of that unclean lying spirit that is in the world today. 1 John chapter 4 tells us to watch out for the spirits. Verse 1. "Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And then down in verse 6. "We are of God. He who knows God hears us," the apostles. "He who is not of God doesn't hear us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now I should have read the next verse after John 8:44, because Jesus says, "Because you are not of the truth, you don't hear my words. You don't receive my words, because you're of your father, the devil, that lying spirit, the father of lies." Now you see, there is a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. Verse 6 says so. And now we go back to 1 John 2 and verse 4. And the Apostle John says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and doesn't keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." If they don't respect God's government, God's commandments, Mr. Armstrong said that the line of demarcation between the true ministers of Jesus Christ and the false ones is the law and the government of God. That's the dividing line. It's just like in the Garden of Eden. God wanted them to keep his commandment, and Satan said, you don't have to do that. That's the line of demarcation. And all liars will go into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 7. Now, remember that anybody who says he knows God but doesn't keep his commandments is a liar. And look what's going to happen to all liars. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the adulterers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then go over to the next chapter, 22, and verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, who keep his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For outside are dogs and sorcerers, adulterers and murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves to make lies. They are going to be excluded. They won't enter into God's kingdom. They won't enter into the world tomorrow. They won't enter into eternal life. Satan is the father of lies, and there won't be any spirit of lying in God's family. Now let's go to Psalm 101. Now look at King David's attitude. He wanted his kingdom to be clean and free from sin and lying. And now David is going to be there in the world tomorrow and helping Christ govern. Now Christ is going to sit on the throne of David. And here's David's attitude, and David was a man after God's own heart. This is Christ's attitude too. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto you, O Lord, I will sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. He who privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. He who has a high look and a proud heart, I will not allow. He won't allow it in his kingdom. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He shall serve me. He who works deceit will not dwell within my house. He who tells lies will not be in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now see, that's the way Christ's kingdom is going to be in the world tomorrow. And that's the way David wanted his kingdom to be. Now, Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out of heaven to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now this happened long, long ago, before the time of man. There was war in heaven, and one third of the angels rebelled against God. There was war, and Michael and his angels fought against Satan and his angels. And then this happened. Satan and one third of the angels were cast out of heaven down to the earth. And Satan has been busy deceiving the whole world. And that's what it says now in verse 9. And in chapter 13, verse 11, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Now you see, this is that Babylon the Great religion, has two horns like a lamb, speaks like a dragon, and it deceives all nations. And God's going to take that Babylon and throw it out forever and ever. It's going to be gone. Satan's deceptions will be gone. As we read in Zechariah 13, the unclean spirit will be removed from the earth. And then that fountain of living waters of God's Holy Spirit will be poured out on the people of the earth. That's what's going to make the world tomorrow completely different from the world today. Today's world is deceived by Satan. The world tomorrow will be put on the right track and will receive the truth and the education that comes from the mind of God. God will teach the people through Jesus and through his servants in the world tomorrow. Let's go back to Revelation 6 for a moment, verse 1. That's what this first seal is all about. The great lie that Paul talked about in 2 Thessalonians, that because people didn't receive the love of the truth, they're going to receive the big lie from Satan. Now, God never lies. God tells the truth. But just like back in the Old Testament that we read about Micaiah and his explanation to King Ahab, God is allowing Satan to deceive the world because the people of the world don't want to hear God's truth. They've rejected God's truth, you know, from the time of Adam and Eve all the way down. And so God allows Satan to put a veil over their minds, a veil of deception. That's what this first seal is. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts said, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering, deceiving the world, and conquering. And the big lie went out, filled the world. That little horn on Daniel chapter 7, the fourth beast that had a mouth speaking great blasphemies against God, and it was going to become the official religion of the Roman Empire. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And when he opened the second seal, a red horse came forth. Power was given to him to take peace from the earth and that they would kill one another. Well, you know, another great false religion rose up about 600 years later and was in competition with the beast power, beast church. That caused many, many wars and crusades and one religion against another. It's been said that religious confusion breeds world chaos. So many wars have been fought in the name of religion. Satan deceives part of the world with one religion, and he deceives part of the world with another religion, and then they start to hate each other, and they start to kill each other. And Satan is over the whole thing. Matthew 24, and verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceives you. Take heed that you be not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." In other words, they'll say that Jesus is Christ, but they're still going to be deceiving. And verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he who endures until the end will be saved." You've got to endure till the end and exercise character and hold on to God's truth. Chapter 7, verse 13, "Enter in at the straight gate," Jesus said. "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are going to go that way. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few are finding it." Then he continues, "Beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Ah, that's the key. "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree will bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree will bring forth evil fruit. A good tree won't bring forth evil fruit, neither will a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you will know them." Now, verse 21 is the key here. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I'll tell them, I don't know you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work anomia," the flagrant defiance of the will of God. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain came, and the floods, and the winds, and it beat on the house, but it didn't fall because it was founded on a rock. And everyone who hears the sayings that I give and doesn't do them will be compared to a foolish man who built his house on sand. When the rain and the flood and the winds came, that house fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes." Let's go back to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Here's what God told Israel in the days of Moses. If there arise among you a dreamer of dreams, or a prophet, who gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, but his message was, let us go after other gods, gods that you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all of your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave to him. That's what God wanted, and that's what he still wants. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, Paul said, but if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. For we're not preaching ourselves, but Christ Jesus. We preach him, the Lord, and we are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Okay, so Paul clearly states that a lot of people are blinded because of Satan's deceptions. Romans 11, verses 7 and 8. Romans 11. What then? Israel has not obtained that which it is looking for, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Blinded. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this day. You can read that in Isaiah 6 also, and in Matthew. People are blinded, lest they be converted, lest they see. It says, let them hear, but not understand. Let them see, but not perceive. Why? Because they don't have that spirit of obeying God, and as Mr. Armstrong taught, of having the spirit of the law in you, the attitude of the spirit of the law. That's why they don't understand. They don't have the right spirit in them. The liberal spirit cuts them off from God. Isaiah 29, verse 9. Isaiah 29, 9. Pause and wonder. Cry out. Think about this. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers and the seers he has covered. In other words, God allows Satan to deceive the world. Now, God is ultimately responsible, because he's allowing this thing to happen. Just as God allowed Satan to afflict Job. Now, Satan did the afflicting, it was with God's permission. Now, God spoke to Adam and Eve first, you see, and then they were expected to make up their minds and build some character by doing so. And then Satan talked to them, and they made up their minds the wrong way. They allowed themselves to be convinced by Satan's clever arguments. Well, God allowed that. He had commanded them which way to choose. God says to us, you know, in Deuteronomy 30, I set before you life and death, so choose life. But you have to choose. See, God determines what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's sin. God determines that, but he commands you to choose, and then he leaves it up to you. That's your part. Adam and Eve decided for themselves what's right and what's wrong. They disagreed with God. They thought that it was okay to take the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But as a result of that, they got Satan, and God allowed that. So God closed the door to the tree of life. That's how it works. Same thing in 2 Thessalonians 2. Because people rejected the message of John the Baptist and Jesus and the apostles that went forth throughout that generation all over the world, and the same thing with Mr. Armstrong in our generation. The word of God went forth all over the world to all nations. Now, God allowed that. And then he lets people make up their minds. Same thing. So as a result, there's this veil over the minds of the people. Verse 11, "And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed." As it says in Daniel 12, "None of the wicked would understand, the wise would understand. The book is closed and sealed till the time of the end. A book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is educated, saying, 'Please explain this book to me.' And he says, 'I can't, it's sealed.' And the book is delivered to someone who's not educated, saying, 'Can you explain this to me?' And he says, 'No, I'm not educated.' Wherefore, the Lord said, 'Forasmuch as this people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men,'" men's ideas. The Pharisees asked Jesus, "Why don't you keep the tradition of the elders?" And he said, "Why do you make the word of God ineffectual by your tradition? You nullify the commandment of God by your tradition." And then these very words are quoted there in Matthew 15 and in Mark chapter 7. So because people allow men to teach them, men's ideas, the traditions of men, the liberal ideas, contrary to the Spirit of God, "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the understanding of their prudent men will be hid." That's in the world today, but not in the world tomorrow. We'll drop down to verse 18. "In that day, in the world tomorrow, the deaf will hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind will see out of obscurity and out of darkness." And in verse 24, "They that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine." See, right now, today, they've got the spirit of error, as we read in 1 John 4:6. But in the world tomorrow, that spirit of error will be removed from the earth, just as Satan will be removed from the earth. And he won't be allowed to deceive the world anymore. And the spirit of truth will fill the world. Let's go back to Genesis 3. Here's the way human history started out after God had taught Adam and Eve. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Hey, has God said you can't eat of every tree?' And the woman said, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you may not eat it nor touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" They wound up taking the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And down in verse 15, God said to Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." Now you see, this is God's long-range plan for the 6,000-year period. God has been calling some of Eve's descendants, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and that list of names you read in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and others whose names are now written in the book of life, and they're going to come up in the first resurrection and be the wife of Christ. And God will have put enmity between the wife of Christ and Satan. That's the purpose. That's the big purpose for the 6,000-year period. And why God has allowed Satan to deceive the world. Because God's calling people out of that, and then they have to resist Satan and reject the errors and overcome peer pressure and persecution and opposition. And the end result is that in their minds will have been developed the character that it's too bad that the demons didn't have, because they followed Satan and he got them to rebel against God. And it corrupted their minds. And they're wicked, perverse spirits now. Their mental processes have been ruined. They don't think straight now. Now, God doesn't want that to happen anymore. So God is preparing these saints for the first resurrection. And this is the purpose. And when they're installed into the positions of being teachers and rulers under Christ in the world tomorrow, they're going to keep things on the right track. They can be trusted by Jesus to administer the government of God properly, and they'll never go astray because they've learned it now in this life. And as Mr. Armstrong said, they'll have a higher reward than the people in the millennium and in the Great White Throne period, because They were called and had to overcome Satan at a time when Satan was filling the earth with lies and deceptions. It's going to be easier for the people in the world tomorrow and in the Great White Throne period. See, God's preparing for future eternity here. Let's go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God other than me. I clothed you, though you haven't known me. Dropping down to verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do these things. Now, God is ultimately responsible for the conditions that exist in His creation. Now, God doesn't lie. We read that. It's impossible for God to lie. He doesn't do evil. He doesn't sin. There's no sin in Him. The Bible says that Jesus Christ loves righteousness and hates iniquity. But Satan is the one who creates trouble. Now, put this together with 1 John 1, verse 5. This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, on the very first day of creation, God divided light from darkness. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And He saw the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He didn't say the darkness was good. He just divided the light from the darkness because there's no darkness in Him. Now, you see, God's way is good. And yet, He allows darkness. There's night in every 24-hour period. And God has also allowed all of the sins and troubles that are in the world. God has kept His hands off of mankind for 6,000 years. But man is reaping what he has sown. If man chooses Satan's ways, then he's going to reap the result of it. And God's allowing it, you see. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25. And we'll look at some scriptures about ancient Israel here, what God said to them. Deuteronomy 4, 25. When you have begotten children and children's children, and you've lived a long time in the promised land, and you begin to corrupt yourselves and make graven images, as breaking one of the Ten Commandments, and you start to do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke Him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from off the land. You will not live long in it after that, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord your God will scatter you among the nations, and you will be left few in number among the Gentiles, where the Lord will send you. And there you will serve their gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which can't see or hear or eat or smell. Now, this happened, if you read in the Bible, and you get down to the days of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and God cast Israel out of the promised land and Judah, and the times of the Gentiles began. Verse 29, but if and when the day comes that you begin to seek the Lord your God, you will find Him when you begin seeking Him with all of your heart and with all your soul. And when you are in tribulation, all these things have come upon you, even in the latter days, if you will turn back to God and be obedient, and God will receive you back again, like the prodigal son who comes back to his father, and the father accepts him back again. And we go to Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all of His commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come on you and overtake you, if you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God. But down in verse 15, but it will come to pass, if you will not listen to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all of His commandments and His statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you. And down in verse 36, the Lord will bring you and the king which you have set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And look at this. And there you will serve other gods. That's why we don't accept the Apocrypha as part of the inspired Bible. because it was the product of that period when Israel and Judah had been cast out of the promised land and they were being affected by the Gentile religions. And the Apocrypha has such false doctrines in them as the immortality of the soul and worshiping angels and things like that that were never in the true Bible of the Hebrews. And then dropping down to verse 64, "And the Lord shall scatter you among all people from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known." See, this is the same principle that Paul talked about in 2 Thessalonians 2. If they won't obey God after God has taught them and educated them, and they turn from it, then God casts them out. Here, let's just jump ahead to Judges chapter 2. "The angel of the Lord came from Gilgal and said, 'I caused you to come up out of Egypt and brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you.'" Just a minute now. In the New Testament, in Hebrews 13, God is quoted as saying, "I will never leave or forsake you." And people have applied that to the church. God will never leave or forsake the church. But wait a minute. The principle here is going to be that when the church forsakes God, God will forsake the church. God will never forsake you as long as you're keeping his commandments and under his government. And if you sin, you repent of it and ask God to forgive you through the sacrifice of Christ. But you're obeying God. Your overall intent and thrust is to walk on that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're keeping the Ten Commandments, and the Holy Spirit flows down that riverbed of the Ten Commandments. You stay on that path. If you get off of that path and depart from it, then God's Spirit doesn't follow you, and you lose God's Holy Spirit. You got to stay on the path of the riverbed. Now, verse 2, God said, "You shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. You shall throw down their altars. Ah, but you have not obeyed my voice. Wherefore," verse 3, "I will not drive them out from before you, but they will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you." And then you jump ahead to Judges chapter 10, about halfway through the book of Judges. Verse 13, God said, "You have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will not deliver you anymore. Go and cry to the gods that you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." See, Adam and Eve chose to follow Satan. And God said, in effect, "All right, you've made up your mind. Go. I give you Satan. It was your choice." I'm going to read what Mr. Armstrong wrote here in Mystery of the Ages, in The Mystery of Man, under the heading Adam's World Sentenced. "When God drove out the man from the Garden of Eden and barred re-entrance, lest he go back and receive eternal life in sin, God pronounced sentence. God said, in effect, 'You have made the decision for yourself and the world that shall spring from you. You have rejected me as the basic source of knowledge. You have rejected power from me through my spirit to live the righteous way. You have rebelled against my command and my government. You have chosen the getting, taking way of Satan. Therefore, I sentence you and the world you shall beget to 6,000 years of being cut off from access to me and my spirit, except for the exceedingly few I shall specially call. And the few shall be called for special service preparatory for the kingdom of God. They shall be required to do what you have failed to do: reject, resist, and overcome Satan and his ways, and follow the ways of my spiritual law. Go therefore, Adam, and all your progeny that shall form the world, and produce your own fund of knowledge. Decide for yourself what is good and what is evil. Produce your own educational systems and means of disseminating knowledge, as your god Satan shall mislead you. Form your own concepts of what is God, your own religions, your own governments, your own lifestyles and forms of society and civilization. In all this, Satan will deceive your world with his attitude of self-centeredness,
with vanity, lust, and greed, jealousy, and envy, competition, and strife, and violence, and wars, rebellion against me, and my law of love. After the world of your descendants has written the lesson in 6,000 years of human suffering, anguish, frustration, defeat, and death, after the world that shall spring from you shall have been brought to confess the utter hopelessness of the way of life you have chosen, I will supernaturally intervene. By supernatural divine power, I shall then take over the government of the whole world. With re-education, I will produce a happy world of peace, and on repentance, I shall then offer eternal salvation to all. After 1,000 years of that happy world to come, I will resurrect from death to mortal life all who have died uncalled during this present 6,000 years. Their judgment shall then come. And on repentance and faith, eternal life shall be offered them.
You see, God pronounced sentence on Adam and his world. Let's go to Isaiah 57, verse 13. When you cry, let your companies deliver you. In other words, your collection of idols. But the wind will carry them away. Vanity shall take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and inherit my holy mountain. See, if you want to follow false gods, you won't be in the seventh millennial day. Don't follow the beast church or anything like that. Verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Over in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your espousals, when you went after me in the wilderness. Israel was holiness to the Lord. During the days of Joshua. Verse 4, now hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob and the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they are gone away from me? And they've turned to vanity. Neither do they say, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness? Verse 7, I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit with goodness. But when you entered in, you defiled my land and made my inheritance an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law didn't know me. The pastors transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal. Now jump ahead to chapter 11, Jeremiah 11, verse 11. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they cry to me, I will not listen to them. Verse 12. Then shall the cities of Judah and Jerusalem go and cry to the gods to whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of your cities were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have you set up altars to Baal. Therefore, don't pray for this people. I will not hear them. God says he won't hear them. In chapter 16, Jeremiah 16, verse 10, and it will come to pass that when you show the people all these words, and they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and worshipped them, and forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not listen to me. Therefore, see, that's the reason, therefore I will cast you out of this land into a land that you don't know. And there you will serve other gods day and night. It's just like 2 Thessalonians 2. Because you didn't receive the love of the truth that God sent, I will send strong delusion that you shall believe the lie. Same as Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They chose. Now God didn't want them to do that, but since they did, God allowed Satan to deceive the whole world. He cut mankind off. Adam made the choice.
Ezekiel 20, verse 39. Ezekiel 20, 39. As for you, O house of Israel, go, serve your idols, if that's what you want to do, and also if you will not listen to me. But don't pollute my holy name any more with your gifts and your idols. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, says the Lord, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land serve me, and I will accept them. Now, anyone who's alive today, who wants to enter into the world tomorrow, they can't go after Satan. They can't serve the religions that originate in the mind of Satan, that don't obey the one true God. There's only one true God and one true religion. And God says, if you want to follow Satan, go ahead. But you're not going to enter the world tomorrow. Don't think that you will. You won't. You have to serve the one true God, not Satan the devil, if you want to be in the world tomorrow and in the kingdom of God when it comes time to be changed into spirit. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no longer, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that happens, every good blessing will come upon the earth. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. See, because Satan is the cause of all the deception and lies that cut people off from God. The world has been cut off from God for 6,000 years because God has given man what man chose in the first place, to follow Satan. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the true education, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, the right spirit, the right knowledge, the true religion. And he will judge among the nations and rebuke many people. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Because the cause of all of the troubles, Satan, will have been removed. And now we'll end by going right back where we started, in Zechariah 13, in verse 2. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. And I also will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Now, the great difference between today's world and the world tomorrow is that today's world is deceived, from one end of the earth to the other. There are thousands of false religions in the world, and they're all of Satan. But in the world tomorrow, the one true God and the one true religion will fill the earth. There's only one true God and one true religion. All the rest of them are false. God's true religion is what God reveals. It's the Word of God that has come down from God, and God inspired those who wrote the Holy Bible, the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles. And they received the Word of God, and Jesus brought the Word of God, and the true church had it at the beginning. Now, we need to recapture those true values and the knowledge that will fill the world in the world tomorrow. And that's the time we're picturing by keeping the Feast of Tabernacles.